Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I want the ball. I want the ball.
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
Welcome back to 11 Personnel, Nick Roush and Adam Luckett, coming to you, recording on a Tuesday night. This will be out early Wednesday morning. I'm actually, when this was released, I think I'm actually going to be on Kentucky Sports Radio, Luckett. So it'll be like Inception. You could hear me talking twice.
Nice little name drop there.
That's like a nightmare scenario too, as well. But I'm trying to do the cross promoting. Really, I'm just going to be using the entire 2 hours to promote the podcast. So we got to have a damn good podcast, Adam Luckett. I hope you brought your A game.
I tell you what, there's a lot for us to talk about this week. So we're going to have a lot of different subjects for people to jump in on, because a lot's happened in the college football world. A lot of it's involved Kentucky. Since we last met, and hell, we haven't even met a week. It hasn't been a week because we had to do an emergency podcast edition at the end of the last week. So it's only been a couple days, but a lot has happened in those couple days.
And most importantly, the big thing that we were kind of waiting on this week, I was kind of like, you know what? There's been some stuff, but I want the grand poobah. I'm ready for the schedule, damn it. Give me a schedule. It's got to be coming soon, right? And like it, I'm not going to lie. My fuse blew today. I had a problem. Like, it's good that we've taken some time and that we were too busy to record Tuesday afternoon, because when the SEC announced a practice schedule instead of an actual schedule, I almost lost my bleeping mind. I mean, it was we were in meltdown mode at the Roush House. I was not in a very good place.
And I had texted you the night before asking you about, like, kind of our content ideas for fall camp, and you were kind of telling me that they're probably not going to start right when you think they are. It turns out that reason is makes sense now, because the SEC's kind of got this junked up practice plan for 2020.
Which, okay. So I found out Monday afternoon that practice wasn't starting this week. And I was like, well, you know what? I guess if the schedule's up in the air, they can't be preparing as according to plan. If there's no schedule, yada, 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 whatever. But my overall, like, thought process was, they're taking away games. So how do you make up for that? You have more practices. And yes, fall camp, it can suck. I've about third week of August every year, I show up to the interviews and I just mail it in, because I'm tired of asking the same questions. They're tired of talking to me. I'm tired of talking to them, and because it's a grind. It's a grind. It's a meat grinder. Just constant kind of practices, meetings, team activities, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of get where they don't want to fatigue the players too much, but I do understand the point of the bigger overall point is, those guys that typically got three or four games to just see some tape on themselves. I thought, you know what? If they just have an extended preseason camp, you give the young guys an extra scrimmage or two. Just, it's basically a JV game. You know what? And if you sneak EKU from up the road to practice, I'm not going to tell on anybody. But you could have pretty close to simulated game-like atmosphere, the closest thing you could, even though you are beating up on each other. But you could give them a few more active game-like situations for some of those freshmen and sophomores who, to be frank, a lot of those guys aren't going to sniff the field unless somebody gets hurt this year. So that was my thinking about as to why it would actually be a nice benefit, a nice little addition. Even though they're taking away games, they're going to get an extended fall camp. Everything's fine. But instead, Luckett, they're scaling back the 20-hour work week that they already have going on now. Next week, it's only going to be 6 hours in the weight room and 5 hours of walkthroughs. which I don't think is that much different than what they were doing. But, like, why scale anything back? Makes absolutely no sense. Like, you already got them on campus. What the hell are you waiting on? You know? There's no reason to push things back any farther. Now, what I think is not a bad idea in theory is they're like, you know what? We're not going to make this grueling camp thing. We're kind of going to space things out. You got to have 2 days off a week. Maybe if things happen, you can wiggle. I don't know. Frankly, I don't get it. But they're starting practice a week from Monday, August 17th. And the thing that really pisses me off, like, it is they've delayed the season 3 weeks, and yet they didn't equal it out on the back end with the practice. They're still kicking that down the road for, 11 days or whatever. It just doesn't equal up. And I don't know. I can't make any sense of it. It made me very mad. And I was close to screaming into my wall earlier over something so stupid and trivial that I never would have been this mad about. They didn't just give us a real freaking schedule.
It's almost like this practice schedule is that they're just trying to hopefully think it'll get better by the time, what is it, August 17th rolls around. That may be it, or August 7th, I guess. Or August 17th, August 7th, all the 16th is when they can kind of have that 14 hours a week meetings, walkthroughs, which I guess means the coaches can be with them in the same room.
They're already doing that. Like, it just, yeah. I don't understand it. And frankly, there's no reason for me to be this mad other than give me a schedule, damn it. Give me a schedule.
Right. I mean, it'd be nice if we had the schedule, but now it's looking like they could, that buys them time to not put out the schedule this week, I think. If they do, maybe a Friday news dump.
Man, I hope not. I will say, look, I was anticipating that they would like confirm it when we're talking right now, late Tuesday night, because of what the
NCAA Wednesday a.m.
Yeah.
As soon as I start day work and notice that schedules gets dropped or something.
But I thought that they would just wait until the NCAA had its meeting about fall championship sports. Once the NCAA would make a decision, they'd be like, okay, all right, now we're scot-free. We're in the clear. Well, Adam, like, what decision did the NCAA make today?
They did what they do best, is kick the can down the road. The Fat Cats got together. Probably got into the hotel lobby about 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
A couple cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. How's Janet and the kids doing? Oh, that's great. Blah 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 blah. Let's sit down for this meeting at 11 a.m. The meeting doesn't conclude until 7 p.m. per Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. So they have this meeting for however long. Probably got 2, 3, 4 meals mixed in. Maybe time to sneak out to the driving range at 4 p.m. for late break. And they don't make a decision. They don't make a decision.
Basically, they don't do anything.
The meeting today was to determine if they're going to have host fall championships for all their levels, D1, D2, D3.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, if they're going to cancel it, then the FBS conferences have to decide, you know, how are we going to proceed forward, kind of thing. And some people thought it could lead to kind of a dissolving of the relationship between the Power Five and the NCAA.
Yeah, that was the kind of like, right. Oh, the Power Five's going to go off on its own. The schism's here. But you know what? The NCAA is like, Power Five, no need to make any decisions because we're not going to make one.
Right. It's everybody trying to buy, like, more time. No one's really willing to stick their neck out there right now for – the obvious reasons. So they're all just sitting, hoping it gets better, it feels like. And
well, it
eventually, though, you
got to do something.
You got to do something right.
And it's just, I guess you just sigh and wait another day. I was just wanting some sort of clarity, some sort of something. Yeah.
Well, I will admit, when the Pac-12 released their schedule, I guess it was Friday, I took a look at it Saturday morning. Like, that was – it felt like normalcy again.
Now,
looking at schedules, breaking it down, seeing who plays who, when they play each other.
So, do they give full schedules?
Yeah, Pac-12 is full schedule out.
Okay.
They're the same model as SEC, time-wise.
Right. But slightly, is it still the 10+1? Or, excuse me, just 10 conference only?
Mm-hmm, conference only, 10 games.
I I did see that they're opening with rivalry games.
A couple of them, not all of them. UCLA and USC is the big one.
I just love that that's the big one when, like, UCLA has been relevant, what, once in our lifetime?
Maybe? It's the jersey game where both teams wear their home jerseys.
And that's the only thing that's great about it. Yes, you get to see Keaton Slovis play, and yes, it's at the Coliseum. But, like, right. Well, I mean, hell, what are they going to just put a bunch of banners up, like, all over the entire state? I mean, I don't know. The Pac-12, you can't convince me, like, USC, UCLA, the battle for LA. What a rivalry. It's like, okay, if this is Ohio State, Michigan, come talk to me, Big Ten. Like, that, you don't matter, UCLA.
And they play that game on a weird – they play it the week before rivalry week. It's usually
– way to say relevant.
Because USC plays Notre Dame every other year at home that Thanksgiving Saturday.
Got you. But at least the Pac-12 gave us a schedule, but like it really, the Pac-12 got overshadowed by their own players.
And like literally 48 hours later.
What was your biggest, so the Pac-12 players, they went on the Players Tribune, ironically, which it turns out there was some kind of big report that the Pac-12 was paying the Players Tribune and LA Times for coverage, classic Larry Scott, like. You know what? We're not, instead of making a good product, we'll just pay somebody else to say we
have a
good
product. How does Larry Scott, how does he still have a job? It's beyond me.
It's like, I think we could go in there and fart and it'd be, we'd be doing better than Larry Scott at the Pac-12. But while he's concocting this grand plan for the way that they'll play football this fall, a bunch of guys in the Pac-12, a bunch of players, get together and they start talking. And the way that a Cal offensive lineman put it, he saw an article in CBS Sports that said anywhere from 5 to 7 guys will probably die and hundreds of players will get it, if not thousands of people will get coronavirus. And
that was actually a professor at University of Illinois that came out with that report.
He's a data scientist, I believe.
Yeah. And he's actually kind of backtracked that a little bit.
Oh, it was great. As soon as they on Monday, he already said, actually, I was now wrong, and I can't find any good reason not to play. That was his quote.
Now that scientist thinks they can absolutely play. Now he did say people are gonna get sick, you're gonna have cases. But he did feel safe in saying that, you know, if 1, 2 to 3 people would die, that's like a worst case scenario. Like very, very worst case. But he thinks they could have a successful season. Where before it was like 5 to 7, and then what was it, like 30% of the players get sick?
It was bad. Like that. It was
right,
really bad.
Right.
And it sounds like the dude just forgot to carry a decimal point or something in his calculations. Right. And that caused them this big old stink. And look at just from synthesizing the countless articles, because there's a lot of stuff in their demands. But really, this is another name for the Pac-12 players who are trying to unionize. And they're picking a good time to try to do it. And I think they're being pretty effective in their representation, getting, instead of just like Northwestern, they're getting 9 players from different schools to be the kind of face of it. And they say they have hundreds, to be exact. I don't know how much.
We don't know yet.
Right.
It's all you're saying.
They're at least the time where they have the chips and the scales are kind of tipping in their favor. The timing's on their side, but like it, when you look at that list of demands, they threw a lot against the wall, and I don't know how many of those are going to stick.
For me, the big thing was that it's combined the two big issues that we've seen. The unionization is big on the Black Lives Matter movement, weighs heavily in there. They have a demand saying they want to have like this board where a black player from each school kind of has like a group where they talk to like the head of the conference and they hear like their things and make sure like everybody's getting equality or whatnot.
We're going to have an advisory committee.
Right. Yes.
They love those committees and panels and more committees and subcommittees. Right. Yeah.
And then it's also big on the COVID-19, which they're pretty much demanding testing, stuff like that.
They wanted an independent, it goes back to what's the quarterback's name that's got the three decimals? JDE, JTR for UCLA.
Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR.
DTR. Okay. I was close. When they had that article in the LA Times where they wanted an independent third party person to
they didn't trust Chip Kelly for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, hell, it's most of these players and coaches. And as we'll see, I can't blame some of them for wanting to have an independent third party in there. But they get you mentioned the big three things, but under most of it, I think most of it was just like, it goes about the process at which every professional league went about like it. And that's the players' union meets with the owners and they discuss what the players want to see. And then they negotiate. And this was the players saying, hey, we want to negotiate our terms of return because we don't want to put ourselves unnecessarily at risk. We want to make sure that y'all are checking certain boxes and we don't have people running around all willy-nilly just coughing all over each other and not wearing masks. And basically, we don't want to be like Virginia Tech. Suck it, Justin Fuente. And I think we're going to see a lot of those kind of allegations all over the country of places not handling the way they should. So in addition to the COVID stuff, they added a bunch of other things. And I think it was a kind of a negotiation tool. like saying, give us 50% of the revenue.
That's the next thing I can bring up.
For them to appease the COVID-19 kind of testing stuff.
The big thing for me coming away from that was really kind of two things. The insurance thing, I think, I don't know how that would work, but I think that makes sense, especially for football, because of injuries and the physical toll of the game. I think providing people with that would be a good thing, because you hear football players have 20 years down the road having multiple surgeries for an injury that occurred playing the sport while they were in college.
Well, and like it, if you recall back being on campus the week after football season ended was just guys on crutches because they had just gotten their surgeries after the year. So not only that, I think that benefit, it just makes sense. Like throw the people a freaking bone here, but from a career perspective, as the NCAA likes to say, we're most likely to go professional in something other than sports. That's stupid old saying. For a lot of them, yes, that's true. And unlike a regular student, their ability to build a resume to get their ideal career right out of school, it's tough. You know, you see some of these 4 for 40 videos where, you know, they got guys interning over the summer, but it's not the same kind of resume that you or I could build up while we're going to school. It's just not, because they don't have the time, resources, and what have you. But
absolutely. It's a full-time job. They're going to school, plus they have that full-time job.
Exactly.
Playing a sport.
And I think what the health insurance benefit does is it allows them to take their time building that resume before they get a career. They don't have to just go get a job at Amazon so they can have insurance in case they get sick or something. And that's where I think it can be really beneficial, not just to football players, but to everybody, where we don't have to rely on mom and dad's insurance till we're 26. And if your mom and dad, you know, you have a little bit more option with your mobility. I think it really would take a burden off of people. It feels pretty reasonable. So I like that you included that.
And the next one is just name, image, likeness. If the NCAA would just go ahead and get this ball rolling, I think it would alleviate a lot of problems.
And a lot of angst. And you know what, Luckett?
Because the players in this negotiation, they're like asking for 50% of the total revenue. And that thing comes off as like the coaches are paid too much. Like there was a demand in there saying,
"Oh yeah, Larry Scott, they want paid so much."
Yeah, they want that to come down. They want other sports to come back or something.
Yeah,
like I don't know, like how you can tell a business that they have to operate a certain way. But if you could pay the players, I think if you told the players they get name, image, likeness, and they can make, you know, they can go out and do a commercial for Brewing bookstore in Pasadena or whatever, yeah, you know, so they can make a couple $100 on the side in their pocket, maybe a month.
Hell, just
fine with that. But
working camps and selling their names as the when Bowdoin football camp instead of now, where They kind of have to be sneaky about it. They can't use their names to promote a camp. That's an easy way to make a quick buck. But A, like it would require more meetings, which they like. The NCAA loves these meetings. They just don't like doing anything in. They like taking, you know, eating their coffee and taking their golf breaks, like you said. But it's things that they've discussed, and that's the part that, like, the transfer thing, like, that's stuff that's been talked about a lot, and it feels like they're getting to. Mm-hmm. And really, what I think's happening, Luckett, is the NCAA has been playing the buying time game for so long that, like, now they're backing themselves into a corner, and it's probably not going to turn out.
Yeah, you're reaching the point of no return here pretty close.
Yeah. So, but I did think it was funny with their 50% revenue thing. Like, it totally contradicted the other point of, like, bringing back sports. It's like, you realize that you fund all of the, there's not a swimming team if not for the football team. You pay for the swimming team. That's how it works. So,
well, the model of college in general, it's set up where the coaches are automatically going to be the stars just because they're here for longer.
Yeah,
like, players can only stay for so long, and you're cycling. Like in football, you're cycling a fourth of your roster out, or over a fourth of your roster out almost every year.
Hell, look what Cal does.
Yeah, and then on basketball, yeah, he's cycling 85% of his roster out every year. So, like, the coaches are going to be the stars, and they, like, I don't agree, because I saw some people throwing out there that coaches should make, like, you know, $725 to $1.2 million. I don't agree with that, especially not big time, because I think they earn that money.
The market dictates it too.
Right. The market. I don't think, like I don't think coaches should be a college football coach. I think making $5 million a year is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the college football where we're seeing, where, like, Mark Stoops, for example, he makes a certain amount of money, but why he makes that money is because of the conference Kentucky's in has dictated that, and Kentucky is willing to pay, was willing to roll the dice with him and lock him into this contract that would eventually long-term pay off for the school if he would stay around and if he was successful, and which it has worked. But when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, you're just like, well Jesus Christ, it must be nice to do that, to be, you know, a fringe top 25 team and make, you know, this $5 million a year or whatever with incentives. But I think, you know, market dictates it. And I think, like, these guys are the stars you need, like, for college sports to exist. You're going to have – coaches are going to be big names. They've always been. And that's always going to be the saying. So telling them they can only make a certain amount of money was something I didn't – that wasn't really what the players were asking, but that was something people were throwing out.
Well, and so the reason why they load up their demands with that is for the negotiation tactics. The only problem is it clouds their overall goal. Is because your hot take artists, your Stephen A's, your whatever show is on SS1, they grasp at that. Your Danny Cannells of the world, they just get all takey and everything. Instead of, like, saying, hey, these guys just want to have a voice and come to the table. And, you know, I mean, we saw what happened with State of Mississippi. You've seen the proposed flags. The dog pee egg bowl flag, that's official. That is in.
Yeah, it's a player empowerment era.
All no because of Colin it. Hill. So, that's why I don't want to do the, well, it'll be interesting to see here. I'm curious to see how it plays out. But, like, it doesn't feel like that's too much of a ask that the players have some sort of every league to get back to playing, the MLB, their players union has to negotiate the terms of engagement. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see, like, that doesn't feel like a very radical notion for me in the college athletics world. So I don't know. And I also, we talked.
Well, it gets to the point, though, when, like, at some point players are going to, you know, they have a union, but at some point they might want representation
mm-hmm.
on an individual basis. So at some point, like, they're not going to be able to deny that, like, if an athlete wants to go out and get somebody to represent him, to be like his handler or agent,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to allow that here eventually down the road. And how they kind of, because it's always been a stance of no. And well, I think that's something that definitely is going to have to happen eventually.
And it's always been a thing in No. It goes back to everything we said on either the podcast or Molding Together. But just because things have always been the way they were doesn't mean that's the way they should be. And
right.
And I'm reading a book by our friends over at SB Nation, that the Sinful Seven book. Look it. I'm sure you've seen them promoting it. Spencer Hall, Alex Kircher, Richard Johnson. And it's they basically made an old Western as an allegory for how ridiculous the NCAA came to be what it is today. And it really is kind of ridiculous. But it gives me the cheating problems that they were worried about back then, it's a tale as old as time. So to act like that all of a sudden, if a player has an agent, or
I could go for a good recruiting scandal right now.
Anything right now would be great. But like, the schools are going to cheat as long as you're playing sports. Tom Brady and the Patriots, for God's sakes, were cheating. You know, like, people cheat to win.
Astros.
It's an ugly truth. Yeah. And you know what? They're paying for it now by getting beaned all the time. And Joe Kelly just, people cheat, right? It's not to say that we shouldn't have rules, but if something is such a regular part of your sport that it's a norm, that the cheating is just, that's just how things go, then maybe you should reevaluate the way things are done. I don't want to get into like a whole, like, I swear to God, I've had this argument on my radio show with TJ 1,000 times because we got nothing else to talk about right now other than, paying players. And I know it gets people worked up, but this is the – if you couldn't tell, things are coming to a point with all the uncertainty in the air right now. And
NCAA also lost their teeth a few years ago.
What do you think was the moment where they did? North Carolina?
That was part of it. I know the Miami thing, when they were investigating Shapiro, they royally messed that up.
Yeah, that's
true. And then they had to let them skirt off. And then the North Carolina thing on top of it. And I think the rise of Twitter, too. I just think people have kind of were more willing to call them out on their stuff. And I think it's caused them to really, you know, put it in reverse and be very careful about what they're doing and try to please people and not try to get too far into things when they don't have to. And I think that's been a big part of all of this, is that the NCAA would bite back on a lot of this stuff, and they're just not anymore. And it gets to the point they're going to break off eventually for football. I 100% believe that. I just don't know what that looks like. What they do, if it has an effect on other sports, like would Kentucky break off, but then like the basketball team go and join like, I don't know, the ACC for just basketball, just because, you know, the football team would be off in their own place, but where would basketball go? I mean, I don't know what that looks like. It's definitely interesting times we're in right now, but we're all just trying to figure it out. But it does feel like the NCAA, with this act of just kicking the can down the road again, they're just trying to avoid just sit in the corner and hide almost,
and wash their hands of any kind of liability of any sorts.
You conferences, you figure it out.
You mentioned Twitter, Luckett. There's two tweets that I we don't have to dig a lot into, but that really raise some eyebrows. One of which, very controversial, about our guy Gary Patterson, who, country music star, as we all know him, first and foremost. Secondly, head coach at TCU for the last umpteen years. And as we saw with the players at Iowa and calling out Kirk Ferentz, which, by the way, the fact that they like did some investigation 2 years ago and found there needed to be change and there wasn't, like, there was a culture problem, all this crap. Iowa, that was a bigger mess than we thought. But TCU, Gary Patterson, that's another one of those like culture guys who's pretty old school.
But he's got a statue outside their stadium.
Yeah. I mean, he brought them from Conference USA to the Big 12, where they're playing with the big dogs. I mean, he's their most successful coach ever. And he had a player tweet out that Gary Patterson used the N-word in reference to. And I don't know. I wish I could pull up the player's name right now. But essentially, he's
a redshirt freshman linebacker.
And he transferred from Pitt. Is that correct?
He's from Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Okay, that's where I was confused.
And he was a kid that was like a high three star. It was a pretty good recruiting one for TCU. They got him out of Kansas, but then he had some grades issues, so he didn't. So he showed up late. He showed up in August. Kind of similar like what Lynn Bowden did when he came to Kentucky. It was like a late arrival to camp. And then didn't really play in like three games last year, but preserved his red shirt.
Well, and the way he basically tells the story of like trying to get more playing time, trying to do this. And Coach Patterson, he got mad at me because I tweeted about my girlfriend on girlfriend day. And then he got mad at me.
Dylan Jordan's his name.
Dylan Jordan. And then he got mad when he said I was using the N-word to talk about my friends or something like that. And Patterson used that instead of saying N-word, he said something like that. And that just – I think the way – I mean, not a good look. We can both agree on that.
Now, he did have one thing for him. He had a bunch of players, notably African-Americans, all come out and support him. And even players on the team came out and said – he said it in a way of, like, do not say that in our meeting rooms.
Right.
Like, do not say that. But he did – well, it looks like he did actually say the word. Like,
yeah, he didn't say don't say the N word. He said don't say, and he said it. It's like he called the shit poop. You know, like
right.
You can't say it. You just can't say it. And so not a good look. But it's also goes to show you stuff does not happen behind closed doors anymore, Adam Luckett. It just doesn't.
No. These players have voices. And they're getting now that more than ever, they're seeing they can use them for whatever reason. We saw another thing up at Washington State with Nick Rolovich.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. See, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Luckett, he wrote down the things this week. I did not. I had a child screaming at me today, so I'm going to blame my son. He's going to be my excuse. But I'm glad you brought that up because we're in a war of he said, she said with Nick Rolovich, where – I don't recall if there was a Washington State representative that was listed as a media contact, but do you have the actual I don't have the post pulled up in front of me, but
I have a article Adam Rittenberg wrote for ESPN.
Okay, because you can get the kind of the dirty details out for us,
right? So basically, Cassidy Woods, who's a wide receiver for Washington State. He has a sickle cell trait, and so he would be at an enhanced risk during coronavirus. So he goes to Rolovich and tells him that he's opting out of the 2020 season because of this medical issue. And basically, Rolovich says that's fine.
Yeah, it's cool.
But he says you can't be in our locker room or whatever because. You can't you like it's for players only.
He also asked in the
yeah, that's what I was getting to. He also asked him about
you gonna be in this unity thing.
But this when April was it was released. It happened like a day after the unity thing came out, so a lot of people assumed it was just kind of real time. But it would actually happen before that occurred. And from Rolovich, I think his statement kind of. Insinuated that he didn't really know much about the unity thing at that point or the union that they're trying to start. I got the quote pull up here.
Yeah, here we go.
According to the Dallas Morning or the Morning News, wherever that's at, the COVID stuff is one thing, but joining this group, it's going to be different. If you say, I'm opting out because of COVID and health and safety, I'm good. But this group is going to change how things go in the future for everybody, at least at our school. It's just not. It's not like you shouldn't be saying that.
Point blank. Now, in fairness, he was recorded surreptitiously, and it's probably illegal, like to record him without his knowledge on a phone call like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you can record anything now.
Yeah, I mean, if that goes to court,
yeah,
it's probably going to get thrown out.
but like this isn't a court of law.
Right.
This is a court of public opinion. And Rolovich was losing it because people thought initially that because the kid's mother was very upset. I mean, her son's got sickle cell. Like that's, yeah. You've got respiratory issues from the get-go, let alone having COVID. Like, of course.
That makes his mother claims that multiple Washington State players who supported the unity movement were cut and told to clean out their lockers.
Well,
and Washington State came back and said no players have been removed from the team.
And Rolovich's initial point was, well, if you're opting out, you're opting out. You're not going to work out with us. Like, what's the point of working out and not playing? Like,
that
which makes perfectly good sense. Why have your stuff in a locker room with 100 other guys if you're
not? You are given a scholarship because of you played a sport. I mean, that's the reason.
You have the scholarship, And they even said they were going to honor it for at least that year, and then they would assess it going forward. He just only got in trouble because he asked, well, are you in this unity thing? And that's where –
This is Rolovich for him, I think. It's obviously a learning experience, but this guy has never been at a Power 5 program. He's never had a ton of media and scrutiny. Like, the biggest place he's ever coached before this was Nevada and Hawaii. So, I mean, Washington State's not even that big, but it is a different – it's a different level. It gets a different amount of attention. And he's a first-year coach taking over for a program that, you know, probably didn't have the best culture under Mike Leach.
Right.
They had a system that worked, but I don't – you know, it probably wasn't – I would assume not the best. And they're coming off a really tumultuous season. They've had two players die in the last two off seasons. Helinski, the quarterback, commits suicide, and then they had a starting safety who overdosed this past off season. So, I mean, it's a – you know, he's taken over kind of a volatile situation there. And I think, you know, we're seeing some of his inexperience how he handled this.
Yeah.
You just got to be smarter. Like, every conversation you have to assume it's being recorded when you're in a level of power like that.
It's volatile, albeit they've been successful recently. And that was always kind of the thing with Mike Leach is they're like, well, he's in Pullman. It doesn't really matter because it's Washington State. You know, he can kind of be goofball up there and get away with it. And when sports aren't actually being played, you can't really get away with things like that. But really the way that, I mean, if he's not being recorded, that's not a big deal. What I think is the bigger deal, Luckett, as far as coaches messing up, alluded to earlier, our guy Justin Fuente. Not good.
I've been talking about this a lot. I've thrown it out a few times, but there's a lot of signs there that it's gonna end pretty bad pretty fast. I don't know if we get to it this year, but I mean it's gonna happen pretty fast. And Caleb Farley, who might be the best corner in the country, he's gonna be a first round pick. Comes out and says, you know, I'm not playing this year. I'm going to focus on the draft. Did he say his parents were sick or he has a condition?
Yeah, the big thing I got was the quote that he shared after he opted out.
The about the COVID protocols or whatever they had going on.
I've got the quote pulled up now. At our workouts, I started having deep concerns about staying healthy. Guys were going home, going to Myrtle Beach, coming back to campus, and we weren't getting tested. We're all together. Working out close to each other, you have no real idea who might have it, if anybody might have it. One day I looked around, and we were like 100 deep in our indoor facility, no mask. It's not a good look. And this is on the heels. He did the little thing where he acted like he was going to go somewhere else this offseason. And I think he was even spotted going to the interview. Where was that?
Do you remember? Baylor.
It was Baylor? Okay. So you had that whole snafu, and then there was him firing a bunch of people before last season. Like, there's been a lot of red flags.
And if you look at the transfer portal, the amount of players they've lost.
It's been a ton. And this was a guy who, I mean, that was seen as like the home perfect run hire.
Perfect fit. Mm-hmm. That's how it was sold.
I mean, even more so than Mike Norvell. The most recent Memphis coach to dip out and go Power 5 to Florida State. I mean, this was seen as a home run, and, man, not a good look for Fuente. And and you just juxtapose it next to the other big name that opted out, Rashad Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
First team.
And how that was handled.
Yeah. I mean, he had like a 2-minute video that looked like it was put together by the folks at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you could hear in his voice, like, this sucks. I want to play. He had 1,200 yards last year.
20 yards per catch.
Yeah, they were going to be in even though Phil Steele, I think he had picked fourth in the division, surprisingly. But, I mean, they were – Tanner Morgan's top 10 in Heisman, the quarterback, he's top 10 in Heisman odds. So, and doing that without Rashad Bateman, probably not going to be able to happen. And the way that P.J. Fleck could have been pissed off that he's losing his best guy, but instead it's, you know, row the boat, Sky Uma, you know, like very cordial. And it really didn't have – it had less to do about with what Minnesota's doing and just everything overall.
I think it just – there's how you do things correctly and how you don't. It seemed like Farley left and kind of a – you know, Fuente did give a statement saying he, you know, he loved him and supported him, but then Farley goes and, you know, kind of takes a shit on the program a little bit.
Yeah.
And then
– and this is on in, like, the Peter King's column, too, is what he wrote it in.
Yeah. That's yeah. a big goes deal. To the biggest NFL outlet you can go to. You know, that's probably what is that Monday morning? That's probably the most read weekly column in sports column or sports – I mean, it's up there. Yeah, wouldn't you think?
I mean, it's there isn't really anything like it anymore. Like, it's the last of that old standard, and like the old guys still go to it. It's kind of like Riley for diehard football fans back in the day in the back page of Sports Illustrated. So, pretty crazy to put it out there that way.
Right, and then where you see Bateman, it's just totally different. Like, he works with Minnesota, makes a video, gives a message to like the fans, and then. You know, seems like very cordial. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, it was just, you know, not as good. I just think some signs there with him.
Do you see this? I still don't think that we're going to see a huge amount of players opt out collegiately.
I will say that, but college players take their lead from what the guys in the professional league do. And we're seeing a lot of NFL guys, not big guys necessarily, but a lot of kind of guys that signed a one-year kind of deal kind of thing, just taking the year off. So that makes me wonder. I think we're going to see more than I originally thought.
Well, as we mentioned earlier with Twitter, you've heard some of their concerns. I know there was a guy from LSU who said he lost like 20 pounds. Trying to get over coronavirus. He was telling everybody in Baton Rouge to get y'all's chickens together, to paraphrase.
Did say there is an Indiana offensive lineman's mom who went on this big spiel because her son lost like 30 pounds in a few weeks from having COVID.
And then you have closer to home, Terry Wilson tweeting out simply, got some stuff to think.
Brandon Echols had a similar tweet too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh.
But if you go, did you hear Terry's Feinbaum interview?
I did, and this was –
it goes against what you would think. Like what he said there was pretty much like, you know, it's been normal. We can't wait to play kind of thing.
Well, but, and that's what
happened since then.
That's why it's important to not read too deeply into
– a tweet.
Because the tone in which he talked about, like when Paul asked him about that stuff, like you could tell it was something that like he knows that he should be thinking more about it, and like that there are definitely concerns and that he's legitimately worried about it. But it definitely wasn't the same tone in which he shared his excitement. There wasn't that same amount of enthusiasm towards it. So I do think there's consideration. I ultimately don't know. You know, the how much so. Now, obviously, if either him or Brandon Echols, if either of them decide that it's not best for them to play, I'd love to see him play. They're both JUCO guys. This is their year to shine. And nobody wants to see them succeed more than me. But if they feel like that's what they need to do to keep their family set, they're both going to be new dads soon. I'm not sure when Echols is expecting, but I know that's right around the corner. You know, you got to take care of y'all's chickens. And right. If that's what they got to do to do so, then by all means, go ahead. They shouldn't be crushed for it. And you know, we wish them the best. And I would, but I really want to I really want to have them on the team.
Yeah, they're all good players. Eccles especially. Obviously, Carey needs a big year to get drafted, but Eccles is definitely on the radar. You know, Senior Bowl tweeted about him a few weeks ago, so he's definitely on their radar. And if he's on that radar, he's on a lot of scouting departments boards. So,
yeah, he's on that. He has another keep an eye out. Yeah. Kind of.
He has another solid season. He's looking at for sure locking up a combine invite and most definitely getting drafted. So that's obviously a big decision that I would imagine it's going to weigh heavily for him. Is that, you know, he's a good year away from, you know, changing his life, you know, and the people around his life in a really big way just by getting drafted and making the team.
And at least in their case, unlike the NFL, where I believe the opt-out deadline is Thursday, you know, these guys, they got time. NCAA is buying plenty of it for them. And they're at least comfortable now. And this week, UK started testing all of their students who are kind of in the process of returning to campuses. So we'll wait and see. But at least as far as the football teams on campus, unlike your Virginia Techs, we haven't heard like all of the guys between Terry, Josh Pascal, everybody that's spoken, Drake Jackson, like they're giving rave reviews for how Kentucky's handled the situation, how clean it is, and the protocols they followed throughout this process. Now, I saw Steve Adazio trending, and when Steve Adazio is trending, it's never for a good thing. If you all are like, wait, Steve Adazio, where's that name? The former Boston College coach who made the Vine, that's a dude. He's the old.
For those who don't know what Steve Adazio looked like, imagine a 90s movie, high school football movie.
Yeah.
The coach for the
bad guys.
Antagonist team.
Yeah.
That's what Steve Adazio looks like.
He's got the goatee, big strong guy, bald head, big screamer. Yeah. That's a good call, Adam. Good call. Now, I was in the middle of, I did not get to inquire about it. I'm assuming that Adazio doesn't have his stuff in order at Colorado State. Am I wrong in that?
Bottom line is the Colorado one, I guess a newspaper, maybe in Denver or not, has this anonymous report where they spoke to 10 players / athletic department members. And it pretty much it's saying that the gist of it was some members of the coaching staff are asking players to lie about symptoms, threatening playing time if they were to having to quarantine from a positive test. And Adazio was trying to make sure that they weren't like that the team in general wasn't missing practice, that they were forcing make sure practices were getting in. But every quote they had in there was from an anonymous person.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't one person that put their name on the quote in there. And it had a thing saying Adazio, 61 years old, wasn't wearing a mask at practice. Their defensive coordinator, who's 67 years old, is not wearing a mask at practice. There was an athletic department member who had was probably the strongest quote in there. It pretty much said, like, the department's going to stick up for the coaches first, not the players, and makes the players feel like they're just, you know, like cattle. And then they did have some quotes from the AD on there, and AD was pretty much saying, you know, we followed all the rules kind of thing. We've done everything. We have a compliant system set up. And then about four or five players tweeted out saying that, you know, that was a bunch of BS, like that they've been tested and they don't feel like, you know, people are out there sick or whatnot.
I do find it, like, I shouldn't say, I don't want to make too much light of it because we are talking about people's health here, but I of all places, the Fort Collins and Pullman, Washington are where you've had kind of some like questionable and Blacksburg. It's like all the mountain schools or the kind of reclusive schools are like, you know what? We can just do whatever the hell we want. Damn it. Like, sure, you can't tell us what to do. Football.
And Adazio, another first year coach too.
Yeah. And
where the culture's not in place. Like you go in his first year and it's a crisis for really the players. They have to learn to do something a totally different way. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously some butting heads that goes on there, and there's obviously some guys that either get run off or leave because this is not who they want to play for.
Right.
So I obviously a situation like this is not, you know, not the best kind of environment to go through something like that. But for Adazio, like those quotes, I mean, they're bad. Like if that's true, like guys on his staff are telling his players to lie about symptoms so they can play. That's bad. You can't be doing that. That's a fireable offense.
It really is. It's almost like you're getting a new boss, but on the first day, the fire alarm gets pulled and all of your computers and information and everything's ruined. And you've got to establish some sort of working relationship out of that, because that's kind of the mess we're in right now. And so, you know, it's very lame of me, but I really do feel bad for like all the parties involved, because I'm sure Adazio is one of those hard asses who doesn't know how to do anything but be a hard ass. And he was probably going to piss a lot of people off no matter what. So you add the coronavirus stuff in, and there's just going to be increased skepticism. Mm-hmm.
And when Adazio left Boston College, he had a bunch of players come out and say, you know, he was kind of a turd.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, why Colorado State went for that guy? But
he got Urban Meyer's seal of approval, because when they were hiring, they used Urban as like an advisor or something. And they ended up hiring him instead of I think it was Ohio State's running backs coach who played at Colorado State, came down to him in Adazio.
Well, obviously it's there's messes everywhere. And luckily right now at Kentucky, we don't have to take out our brooms and clean it all up right now.
The one kind of saving grace through all of this, for me at least, I've gotten really into it more than I've ever gotten into it before, is just recruiting. It's still chugging along. So, like, following that, it's kind of been like, usually recruiting is too much. Like, there's so much stuff you got to go, hoops you got to jump through. But it's kind of been like, through all this, kind of like, well, recruiting's still going on, and that's the normalcy we'll go through. So I'll be following a lot more recruiting. So that's kind of the upside down world we're in right now.
Oh, and my favorite recruiting story was Ken Talley, the rising junior. So he's in the same class like Dane Key and all them, from Pennsylvania, 4-star edge. He releases his top 13, and he wants to make a decision this year, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard on like two fronts. Because why are you in a rush to make a decision this year? You're a junior, like. You got another year. You're going to be able to take visits. But when Kentucky was a finalist, which final 13, what a ridiculous number as well. Justin Rowland reached out to him and asked about Kentucky. And he was like, well, I like the school and I like KFC, which just, you know what? It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And as Drew said, hey, you got to, for a lot of these, I mean, election season is coming up. And for a lot of folks, it's all about name recognition. And what do you recognize with the name Kentucky? Fried chicken. Fried chicken's delicious. I want to go there. I can't blame them whatsoever at all. Whereas like Florida, you think of Florida man. Or you think of reptilian and crocodile. Just all that gross. Tennessee sucks. Like there's a lot of really bad things. So good for you, Ken Talley. You go, Ken Talley.
Then we also got another crazy recruiting story. Armon Scott was hacked on Twitter.
Oh, wait, was that the official line?
Yeah. He spoke with our guy, Justin Rowland, and that's what it was.
He ended up saying, okay. I saw that his post deleted, but Armon Scott, who, I mean, he's a big receiver from Cleveland area. I forget, it's one of those height schools.
Euclid.
It's on Heights. I'm so shocked there. And not Avenue of Champions either. It's Euclid. He tweeted one early morning, my recruitment is 100% open. When I saw Jack going to write the post, I was like, Jack, what the hell is going on here, man? Like, I can't find this anywhere. And he also, he's got a bunch of really like stupid social media names. He's impossible to find.
I learned a trick too for you, Mr. Roush. I was going to tell you this, but I'll go ahead and tell you now.
Yeah.
On the 24/7, on their profiles for 24/7, they have the Twitters linked in there at the bottom. It's a game changer. I was going through because the written offers came out this week, so I was going through kind of Kentucky's list, seeing if they released any other school other than Kentucky, and I found a Twitter linked at the bottom, and it's like that for all of them. It's a lifesaver.
It's handy dandy because his name's like Lil Cuddy something,
Lil Pone or something.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna find the pony or whatever.
Yeah.
But it had been deleted, and it was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I saw where Josh Helmholt, he's the Midwest guy for Rivals. He said that, Oklahoma and somebody else have been more interested.
Ohio State.
Yeah, they're pushing real hard, so maybe that could be the reason why. But the official line is he got hacked?
Yeah, he got hacked. Then I think he went on lines to say something along the lines of, like he's still listening to other schools. Like he's committed, but he's still listening.
Yeah, and even though we kind of tried to make that
a high school football recruitment. You know, don't overreact. This is how it works, man.
We also had tried to make the decommitments thing like an other people's problem. Like, oh, Kentucky, they're just getting the underrated. Well, there's going to be some decommitments. It's going to happen.
That's the game.
Yeah. So, look, I know you wrote a lot of things down. I feel like we touched on a lot of them.
Yeah. Phil Jerkovich, Notre Dame to Boston College, getting cleared.
That was what I wrote down, and I didn't even bring you, idiot, Roush.
That's good for Joey. I think that's good for Joey Gatewood's case. Now, the only difference is Jerkovich is transferring closer to home.
Right,
he's from. But he lives in Pennsylvania, and he's going to Boston College. So it's not like I don't know what the mileage is there. I wouldn't think it's super duper close, but I think that's what they're in this boat. They transferred because they couldn't win a starting job.
Yeah, Gatewood was ranked like 30 spots higher than Jerkovich in the same 2018 recruiting class. Did you see the video Boston College put out?
No, I didn't see it.
Very funny. In fact, I kind of want you to watch it on air and react to it. I know that's not good radio.
Let me pull it. Is that their official Twitter?
It's their official account.
You know, I'm a big fan of Jeff Hafley.
Right. You're loving some the new Boston College head coach from Ohio State. He was their OC?
DC.
DC. But it's like, it's a lot.
The waiver granted video?
Yes, it just says waiver, period, granted, period.
Yeah, I got to pull it up. I'm listening right now. I don't know if the sound's going to play over. Guess not.
It's not. But...
Oh, this is awesome. Jumpa Jacks. Spike.
Yeah, and it's got like EDM music. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like Kentucky Sports Radio if y'all want to check it out for yourselves. But
it's gonna be awkward if he doesn't start after that.
Well, I'm sure it was noted by some BC writer. He's the odds-on favorite, so yeah. It's certainly,
I mean, the guy starting right now is a walk-on, so like he's the only.
Well, and they're playing Notre Dame this year, so yeah. There's at least an interesting storyline there. Mm-hmm. We don't know if Gatewood would be playing Auburn because, well, don't know the damn schedule.
Lane game.
We do know that Lynn Bowden's taking reps at quarterback for the Raiders. Freaking
awesome!
I saw
the OC come out and say they're gonna use him for some plays. Pretty much admitting they will be running the Wildcat offense with him.
Yeah, which I mean, hell, it worked pretty well at Kentucky. You know, Ronnie Brown had that 1 year, so like, why not? I mean, you're the Raiders; you got nothing to lose at this point.
Well, that's how you have to use Lynn, like we talked about. If you're gonna draft him and use him, you have to be willing to go all in and kind of get funky, move him around, use him as a gadget player. And get creative. If you're not going to get creative with him, you're wasting your time and his time.
And you know what? Roster. I would much rather have him in some of those goal-line situations than Derek Carr. So, I mean, what's it going to get worse? He's going to fumble out of the end zone again? Like, ooh. Which, 1 week till Hard Knocks, like it. 1 week from today, Austin McGinnis is going to be America's sweetheart. It's happening.
Did you watch ESPN Plus does kind of a college version, but it goes into the season? Last year, they did Kansas. This year, you know who they're doing?
They picked Les Miles. I would think that they'd want someone entertaining.
You're right along those lines.
So I'm thinking like Jimbo Fisher. I don't know why I've got the LSU guys. I don't know if he'd let him in.
They're sticking with Big 12, but they're doing Oklahoma State this year.
Oh, God. Right after all that stuff happened?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if those cameras those first were there
few
for that.
Those first few episodes I'm going to watch, I watched the Kansas one, but they don't – it's pretty cookie cutter.
It's like highlight videos.
Les Miles fires his OC, and they don't like – it's just like they give you a little like a line, a sentence or two on the screen, and then it's just on to the next, you know, the next. That's it. I was like, really? That's all I get? That's it? I don't get at least kind of like Miles kind of explaining behind the scenes why it had to be done. That's all you get. So I don't. I think they'll probably skirt away from that, but it will be.
Did DJ Elliott get a lot of screen time on that? That's awesome. Yeah, DJ Elliott.
So I only watched – I probably watched 5 or 6 of those. So it got to like the third or fourth game of the season. Then
you're done.
Kind of zoned out after that.
Well, we don't want you all zoning out if we talk too much longer. But I don't know. We might be back here if they drop a schedule sometime this week. We might not. Who knows what's going to happen. We're kind of playing things by ears. But
so are they.
Yeah, everybody is right now. But we appreciate y'all for listening to – 11 Personnel. If it's your first time, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And thanks for hanging with us for the almost hour of conversation. If you want to leave us a review, we'd appreciate those 5 stars. And really, we're just happy that you're listening to us talk a little bit of football as the season it draws nearer, even though it's farther. And I don't know. There's still games scheduled for 3 weeks away, So, you know, maybe we're going to have football soon.
Sun Belt came out today, said they're going to play full slate. So we should get some more announcements from the other small leagues. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, man.
We're flying by the pants of our seat. And that's what makes the day-to-day blogging grind.
The weirdest offseason ever. The weirdest and the fastest offseason ever, at least to me. It seems like it's flown by ever since March.
I haven't even really dug into my Phil Steele either. Because it's just – I've got all this dead time to like study up on teams. I'm wondering what player on which team is mad now. You know, like there's something
that happened. It's weird.
It's a mad.
We just need run. We need practice. Well, I was hopeful practice would start so we would get some information whether good or bad. But now we're even gonna have to wait on that. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It's like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
I don't know, man. We're living in the Twilight Zone. Tommy Chong or Adam Lockett, you just said it. Either way, fair assessment of what we're living in right now. Either way, we're going to talk ourselves through it all. We hope you all enjoy listening to all of our conversations over the coming weeks. Hit that subscribe button to get them all coming to your phone. You'll be the first if you hit subscribe. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer if you don't. So hit subscribe. And keep us locked in each and every week when we come to you with a brand new episode of 11 Personnel. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats! Go Kroger!